Here are the headlines for from the back pages. End of the world, says the Irish Independent. Back page of the Mail says, crushed, Brazil hit for 7 in the most humiliating defeat in World Cup history. The Sun says, rout of this world. The Mirror says, rout of this world. The Irish Times, I'm sure, says something interesting, but it's too far away from me. And the May, the Herald says, Brazil torn apart. And the Examiner goes for from Samba to Somber. And actually, the Irish Times front page is of that girl who's in front of the Examiner as well. A random fan crying with their headline, game over, host denied place in final as Germany triumph 7-1. Darren Maloney, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Ryan. You wouldn't want to be a Brazilian Garth Brooks fan today, would you?
There are only two stories in the country today, Brazil and Brooks. And that you're absolutely correct.
Can't believe it. And listen, you were talking about the kind of watching it last night and just this sense of shock. And it was, you know, 5 goals in 29 minutes. And every minute it was just getting worse and worse. The first 10 minutes of the game was kind of even enough. And Brazil actually came out and sort of said, right, we're going to take this to them. Unlike what they had done against Colombia in the last match where they kind of decided just to try and beat them up. And then you could see Germany starting to get into their stride and everything was precise and perfect and measured and calm. And then all of a sudden the first one goes in and then bang, 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 bang. You know, it's just hard to put into words. Humiliation, you use there in the headlines, and it's such a strong word. And that's where we're at. Like, I'm just looking at the Guardian website here in front of me, and it says, it was the night Germany removed the crown from football royalty. There was anger, resentment, and something approaching a full-on mutiny when Scolari and his players lingered too long on the pitch at the end. And, like, their players were being booed. There's this young guy, Fred, who, look, has had... Yeah. How will I be kind? He's had a terrible World Cup, and he's actually from the city where the match was played last night, and his own people were booing him at the end. So, you know, look, the whole thing has been hysterical from minute one. Hysterical when they were winning and not playing particularly well, and then hysterical last night. But at the same time, they were entitled to be hysterical at the way their team played. Like, there's another line from that article which said, you know, this wasn't a team losing, it was a team dying. And now that's very emotional. I hate that kind of phrase. It's not that way at all. But at the same time, they were just torn asunder in a way that, you know, you would expect, like, the world's best team to play against the 200th team in the world, you know, to 7-1. We have suffered those kind of defeats. Germany did it to us not so long ago at the Aviva. And, you know, there's a huge reaction to it, and everybody's so upset. But, like, this was their World Cup. And, you know, listening to people, watching them all the way through, and we did it ourselves, you're thinking, do you know what, they're not that great. They're certainly not. They're not what we expect of Brazil. They're not the people who gave us the beautiful game. And they go one game further and further and further. They have the penalties. You know, you go back to the Chile match in the last 16, and a guy, Pena, hit the crossbar with the last kick of the game, and you're thinking, okay, maybe something will happen. And look, that's the kind of romantic in all of us, that you think they go a little bit further. Look, they got to a semi-final, but nobody expected that they would be torn asunder in the way they were, and just to leave the field in tears. It was just unbelievable to watch. But look, you've got to admire Germany. Germany were incredible. And, you know, there's this sort of cliche about, oh, you know, they're the ultimate tournament team. They know how to get on in tournaments. And, you know, they've had great moments and not so great moments. But my God, they're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And now they're in their 8th final. They've lost 4 of them before. And you certainly wouldn't back against them no matter who they play on Sunday.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's extraordinary. But just to go back to the Brazilian thing, you know, for people who don't watch football on a weekly basis like myself, I love the World Cup because of the inter-political, the global implications of it.
Of course,
And I was reminded a little bit, for different reasons, of South Africa when they won the Rugby World Cup. And there was something about the honour, the country, the post-apartheid, the Mandela factor, and, you know, Invictus, all that. And then... there was that about Brazil. There was a political backdrop that was difficult for one and all, and there was a lot of controversy. And then by the time they got to the tournament, people were getting in behind them. And the fairy tale would have been for them to obviously win last night, get through to the final, maybe even beat Argentina, their neighbours. But now they have to march under the yoke and face the headlines and face the retribution from their own people. It's a horror show.
It is, and they also have to play another match on Saturday. There's this thing which, you know, the people who play in it and who are involved in it, the third place playoff, they absolutely hate it. But they have to do that on Saturday, and the reaction to that now will be, will be very interesting to watch. And look, you're absolutely correct. The whole kind of political backdrop to us, the, you know, I know people who live in Brazil, and the poverty in the place is unreal. And then the other side, the wealth, there's no middle. It's just either we have nothing or you have everything. And, you know, that football is and has been for so many years the game that kind of put a smile on people's faces. Most real football fans in Brazil, I was listening to a documentary the other day, can't actually afford to go to the matches. They were talking about why people hadn't protested at this World Cup. And this guy was saying, he said the real people who need to protest and who others are protesting for can't even afford to get the bus to go to the protests, if there were many of them. And there haven't been many of them now, and we'll see what happens over the next couple of days. But, you know, the contradictions in the country are incredible, the amount of money that was spent on this thing. And let us not forget they have the Olympics in 2 years' time as well, you know.
So,
like, Rio is the centre of the sporting world, and that world has just kind of come crashing down last night. If they had lost by one goal, or you can explain that away, but this guy Scolari, who was the coach in 2002 when they won the World Cup with the original Ronaldo and Rivaldo and all these guys, they beat Germany in the final in Yokohama in Japan, and like, he's a national hero, was until this thing. And he's come out last night. I was kind of interested to read his quotes, and he just, all he said was, this is it's the worst day of my life, which is a massive statement. People throw it out as an emotional thing, but he could see the reaction everywhere and see, you know, the faces in the crowd. Like, I don't know if you saw it, there were so many cutaways the director put up, like at halftime. I think there might have been three, after 2-0 down, there was a picture of a girl crying, and then after 3-0 down, there was a picture of a little boy, I'd say about 10, and your heart just broke looking at him, because, look, again, there's a real pull the heartstring thing, but you know kids of that age, they don't really understand. All they know is yellow, and they support their team, and their team in the fairy tale always wins, and their team were being torn asunder, and there was this little boy with glasses on, and he had a cup, he was drinking a soft drink, and it was like as if he was collecting the tears in this giant cup, and it was just horrific. Like, you'll see it, I'm sure you'll see it somewhere, but you know,
course.
Like, this is that, and that's what happens. And like, the Brazilian, like we mentioned about the poverty and the elite and stuff, in 1950 Brazil lost the World Cup final effectively to Uruguay in the Maracanã. This was, they were staging the World Cup in their own country, and this was meant to be their celebration. Not quite all they had to do was turn up and win, but they used to wear white shirts, Brazil did, and they lost this game to Uruguay in front of 250,000 people or whatever it was in the Maracanã in Rio, and it was a national disaster. Books have been written about it. There have been, you know, psychological studies of the Brazilian mentality about it. It's a national tragedy, and it still is. Go back from 1950. A couple of years later, they decided, because there was all this bad luck associated with Uruguay beating them in this huge game, they changed their shirt that they wear from white to this, the canary yellow. Now, I don't know what they're going to do now, because, you know, when you think of Brazil, you think of that shirt, and it's not even a sporting thing. You just think of canary yellow with a little bit of blue around the side. But, you know, the reaction to this thing will just, it'll roll on and roll on and roll on. And the tournament, you know, if they had lost 1-0, if is the biggest word in the English language, but if they had lost 1-0 and, you know, they could just kind of explain it away, that's fine. But this, like, any time, they'll be reminded of this for as long as, like, David Luiz and any of these guys are around, you know.
Yeah, for forever. Yeah, indelibly more. Just briefly then, obviously big game tonight, Netherlands and Argentina.
Yeah.
You know I'll be shouting for Argentina only because I drew them like a jam jar from the so that's fine. That's my reasons for that. I mean, I was thinking at the beginning of the tournament, there goes England gone, Spain gone, Italy gone. I thought, what's happened to European football? And then, fair enough, then you have Germany and possibly Netherlands final, depending on what happens tonight.
Well, look, I think it's going to be a fascinating game. I did think last night would be a fascinating game, but I think this will. Look, you can ring me in the morning if it's 7-1 to one of those teams. I think we've just witnessed something, a complete freak of nature. It's just, they happen from time to time, but, you know, you have Robin playing Van Persie, and I just call him himself now at this stage, Messi. You know, it's going to be an incredible match, and I toss of a coin stuff. People have their favourites, the Netherlands. nobody fancied the Netherlands before the thing started. And Van Gaal, who's heading to Manchester United, is a kind of tactical genius. This team, even in Holland, I think they ran a poll before in the Netherlands, excuse me, I have to say the Netherlands, they ran a poll before the tournament started, and only 5% of people in the Netherlands thought their team could win the World Cup. And here they are in the semi-final.
National self-confidence there.
Absolutely, you got to love it.
Dara, thank you so much, and continued success to you doing playing a blinder there, Brian, at the helm. So they're enjoying that very much. Thanks as always.
Have a great day.
Nice one. That's Dara Maloney joining us on the phone there from, I presume, from Dublin.